So today, what we're going to focus on in worship is going to be from John's Gospel, and we'll be hearing from John chapter 2, verses 13 through 22. And so I invite you to follow along as the words are on the screen behind me. If you brought your own Bible, whether it's a phone Bible or an actual Bible, you can open up and read along with us. But that's going to be John, 2nd chapter, verses 13 through 22. And in honor of the reading of the Gospel passage, I invite you to stand as you're able in body. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple he found people selling cattle, sheep, and dove, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple with the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned the tables. And he told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." And his disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" And Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." And the Jews then said, "The temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. And after he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. I don't know about you, but for me, sometimes I struggle with how would Jesus respond in this moment. Especially that I'm a pastor working for a church. I try to think through difficult situations, and I always think, how would Jesus respond in this situation? And even Christians who don't work for a church or have a calling other than being a pastor, I'm sure many of us have thought in a moment in our life when we're presented a situation like, what would Jesus do in this situation? You know, my big struggle is a lot of times we know Jesus is the humble servant, right? He sacrificed his life. He gave it all away for us who didn't deserve it, right? He seems to be submissive almost. But then there are situations in your life where you're like, you know what? I need to stand up to this. This moment is where I need to take authority and be direct and deal with it. And then you think about Jesus in these moments that we just read about, of driving out the money changers. So there are situations that we come across, whether you work for a church or don't work for a church. It's this Christians in general come across these situations like, oh, how would Jesus respond? It goes back to that saying and that little campaign that went around, I guess it was, late 90s, early 2000s, right? Many of us probably have one of these bracelets that came out during that time, and y'all probably know what I'm saying. It's those WWJD bracelets, right? Man, I remember as a ninth grader going to Camp Lester Times with my youth group at Parkway Hills, and they were throwing those things out, and we were all getting excited, and I wore my little bracelet for a while, and I probably had it somewhere stuffed away in a sock drawer or something, but y'all probably have some. But it is a good saying, though, right? Really, it is. It may be used a lot, but it's, what would Jesus do in these situations, right? How would Jesus respond? And so we ask ourselves this all the time. Well, let's look at this. Let's look at this passage that we just read, okay, coming from John. If you picked up on it, this cleansing of this temple scene comes early in John's gospel, where if you look at the other gospels, it comes later in the story. Doesn't necessarily mean that John's trying to change up the order of events. Is that Jesus may have literally cleansed the temple twice. Probably really needed to be cleansed a couple of times, all right? But in this scene here, there are some things that I think we can learn that will help us in our faith journey. There are things that we can gather from this that will help us as we go into life in these difficult situations that we find ourselves in, no matter what you do, right? And so let's look at this. What is happening here? Why is there a marketplace going on at the temple? Well, let me tell you how the sacrificial system worked back in the day. There were certain festivals that required the Jewish people to take a pilgrimage to the temple and to do sacrifices at the temple. And so it starts off that this is the Passover of the Jews, which is one of those festivals that was important for Jewish people to travel to and to make their sacrifices there, all right? I don't know about you, but how many of you have traveled with pets before? you have to think about it. You think about what hotel I'm going to stay at. It's pet friendly, right? If I'm flying, I got to get the pet checked in and all this. It takes a lot of thought, all right, to travel with animals. Well, it was really difficult back in the day to travel with animals. And especially if you were to take an animal that's going to be a sacrifice, right, to keep up with it on your journey and to get there and then to sacrifice it. So the temple had a system in place. Okay, it had a system in place. And that's where you could travel and then purchase your animal sacrifice there. Okay, it's kind of a convenience thing. Okay, you come and you can buy the animal you want to sacrifice there. But you see, in the temple, the money that was used could not be money that came from the Roman government, okay, which was the ruling government of the day, because it had on there pictures of the Roman emperor. The Roman emperor actually would call himself the Son of God a lot, to elevate himself to deity status. And so the Jewish people were keen on that, and it went against their religion to use the Roman emperor's head instead of the Son of God to pay for things in the temple that were holy. They wouldn't want to take it. So what did they do? Just like when you travel to a foreign land, you have to convert your money, all right? Or you go to an arcade, right? You got to go convert your money to the coins, or get a little card nowadays where you swipe and play your games. You had to convert the Roman coin into temple money that would have been holy and acceptable to use. So you had money changers. You had people out there at tables that would see these people coming from a pilgrimage. They bring their Roman money, lay it out, they convert it over, give you temple money. Then you go over and see the next person, and you buy your sacrifice for your animals. All right? So that's how it worked. That system figured out. But just like all things when dealing with money, some people take a little off the top, right? They'll charge a little extra. We have to deal with that, these fees on the credit cards and all that, these service charges, and it's the biggest in banking fees and all that. Those things have been around since the beginning of time. Well, the temple money changer had their fees, and you just didn't know if you were going to be taken advantage of, right? So you had people who were taking the time to go and travel to Jerusalem, all right, as was required according to their faith, and they were trying to do their best to honor God and make a sacrifice. So they were going to do all of this effort to get there, and then they may be taken advantage of. So these people were getting in the way of folks trying to make a sacrifice for God. Okay? So you can see where I'm going with some of this. So you have Jesus at the temple in this scene. And where they did this, the temple had layers of what people could get into. For example, the Gentiles, who were not Jewish people, were allowed in the courts of the Gentiles, which is one of the outer layers of the temple. All right? And this is where the marketplace was, where they were doing these things. Because some of these money changers may be Gentiles. Who knows? So they're allowed there. But once you get past that layer and then go to the gate and get further into the center of the temple and you keep going, you have to be a Jewish person. Then you have to be a male. And it goes further and further until only so many people are actually there to the holiest spot. But, so this is an area where the Gentiles were. This is an area where people who were not new to the faith, and they're new to the faith, they weren't Jewish people, but they might one day get to know God. So this is an area that's welcoming for all, but yet you have this system where folks are being taken advantage of. All right? So this is the scene. Here's Jesus. Now, Jesus may not have traveled with a whip. Okay? More than likely, he probably had to make a whip in order to drive out this cleanse the temple and drive out the money chamber. So it took him a little time, more than likely, to twist the rope and make the whip. And as he's doing it, he was probably watching the scene unfold, getting more frustrated and more frustrated and more frustrated, and people being taken advantage of, people trying to do their best to go and worship God and have to go through all these barriers. And then when he got his whip made, he was ready to cleanse the temple, right? That scene, that picture, there you see all these animals. You see a chaotic scene, and more than likely that's what that was a chaotic scene. Now, when you read it, it doesn't say he whipped the people there. He whipped the animals there, okay? And as he was whipping and driving out the animals, then the money changers and all that followed the animals. That's their profit. That's their money right there. They can't lose it, let it go wild. So Jesus was running them out of there, whipping the animals. Money changers were going after them, cleansing the temple, turning over the tables, okay? Pouring out the money on the floor. And he said, take these things out of here. Stop making my father's house a marketplace. Jesus was frustrated at the scene because it had gotten so difficult for faithful people to come and worship God that it needed to be cleansed. It needed to be clean. The filth needed to be run out of there so that people who are coming with faithful hearts have no barriers between them and their God. That, at the heart, for Jesus' ministry, all the way through his sacrifice, what he is doing is reconnecting God's people to their Creator, removing the barriers, showing people that God is here, he is ready to receive you, there should be nothing in your way. And Jesus Christ removed those barriers for us. But you bet the people who saw Jesus doing the scene, which Jesus, he's a Jewish rabbi, he's a teacher. And so they see Jesus coming with his disciples, which his crew of disciples was not your typical crew of disciples anyway. Just by the people he picked to follow him would have gotten attention because they didn't fit the typical pedigree of disciples. And he didn't fit the typical pedigree of a rabbi. So just Jesus being Jesus with the people present would have brought some attention. But then he's over here making a whip, whipping out these animals and driving it out. And then he flips the table out and pours the money out on the floor. I bet some of the temple guards, some of those other folks didn't quite know what's happening. Like, this man's crazy. I mean, what if I went over there and started flipping up these tables and then the service went, Brian's lost it. We got to call STRC, he's a new preacher. He has lost his mind, okay? So Jesus got a lot of attention. And I bet there's some folks out there who said, this man is crazy. You know, the season of Lent, we are focusing on things that we struggle with, that we battle with. Whether it is something spiritual that we're battling with, something within ourselves. And so today, the thing that I want to bring to our attention and our focus that I think some of us battle, and I really think it's something that we all struggle with, especially in this community of Madison, this Tri-County area, where performance is elevated and having the perfectly groomed yard and the brand new car and having everything just right and your life looking just right. I think we battle a little bit with pride. I think pride is something that many folks, including myself, we battle with. And so let's take a look at that. What is pride? Well, pride is not necessarily what other people say about you, but it's what you think they think about you. It may not be what they actually think, but it's what you think what others think about you. Okay? And when you start looking at that, when you start wrestling with that, that's going to be pride. Because guess what? You want to be viewed. Everybody wants to be liked. Everybody wants to have the appearance and then want people to think, oh, they are a kind person. They are successful in their careers. They have a great family. They have a great yard. They have a great house. Everybody wants to be well-liked and have positive things thought about them. But sometimes when we do that, that gets in the way. It gets in the way of what Jesus calls us to do. Because sometimes what Jesus calls us to do kind of hurts our pride a little bit. We might think, well, if we do what Jesus is calling us to do, then we're going to probably be viewed as crazy. Just as Jesus was viewed as going nuts, flipping over tables, driving people out with the bullwhips. They thought he was crazy. But you know what? Sometimes when you follow Jesus, you have to lay your pride aside. Sometimes you have to go and answer your calling even though folks may say you're crazy. Because Jesus gave his life for us. Jesus loved us so that he crawled to that cross to be sacrificed, which he didn't deserve, didn't have to do. But because of the love of Jesus Christ, I think we're called at times to lay down our pride. I think we are called to embrace his love. We are called to share his love, even though it may seem crazy. But we have to first check our pride at the door. Because it's not always about us, right? And sometimes that's hard to hear. It's hard for me to hear. That's what I said earlier. As a pastor, sometimes I struggle in situations of the right thing to do. What would Jesus do in this moment? And when I answer that question, I pray about it, I'm like, I don't know if I want to do that, though. Because that may hurt my pride a little bit. That may hurt what I want to do. But because of Jesus' love for us, and because of our love for him, I think we're able to lay that down and go and run to what he is calling us to do. And so when we come to a service where we have communion, which we will take in a moment, I think we all need to evaluate, because we're able, because this is an open table, regardless of where you are in your life, I think we are there to embrace and feel the love and grace of Jesus, because he gives it to all. When you come to the table, we lay down our pride, we embrace his love, and then we go out and we share it to the broken world. So there's a lot of hurt out there. You know, the prideful thing to do is like, oh, I'm not going to get involved with that. I'm not going to love my enemies. I'm not going to love the ones that hurt me. I'm too prideful. But we're called to lay that down. Because look at Jesus. He did something crazy. He ran out the money changers. He cleansed the temple. But he did it out of love. He did it so people can feel God's love. He did it to show us that we need to make sure there are no barriers between us and our Lord. Not our pride, not ourselves, not our faults. We lay that down and we run to the altar. That is what we need to focus on. That is what we're doing here in this season of Lent as we prepare ourselves for Easter Sunday. We look at things that we struggle with and we lay it down at his feet. Don't allow the devil to get in your head and mess with your thoughts and allow them to become a barrier between you and God. Jesus loves you. It's a simple message that we hear from when we're children. But as we get to be adults, we begin to mess with that message and muddle with that message. We need to go back to when we were children and we were told, Jesus loves you. He loves you in the season of life that you're in right now. And as we are reflecting upon